The Rundown, Wednesday, April 5th. Fight's filling in for Portnoy as he's down with the Vacation Boys. Today's Rundown is brought to you by Fuego Box. Fuego Box is a monthly subscription to some of the tastiest hot sauces in the game. Every month they can send you one sauce, they can send you three sauces. You can hand pick the sauces that you want. This is not just your regular Tabasco sauce. This is not just, you know, some spice. This is real flavor. Fuego Box makes tasty, spicy, flavorful sauces that can get mailed directly to you. Right now, if you use the promo code RUNDOWN, you get $10 off your first box. So if you like spicy things, you like flavorful food, Fuego Box is for you. And the convenience of it getting delivered right to you, you don't have to go shopping for it. And right now, you get 10 bucks off if you use the promo code RUNDOWN. So FuegoBox.com, promo code RUNDOWN. We begin with the big outrage of the day, Kendall Jenner, her Pepsi commercial. It's a big time cultural appropriation situation. The commercial is Kendall Jenner acting all model-y, doing Kendall Jenner things. She joins a protest and then hands a Pepsi to a police officer. It's invoked a lot of the imagery of the Black Lives Matter during the police brutality. People were very upset about it. Pepsi has since pulled the ad, saying that they wanted to be inclusive and they obviously missed the mark. Dan, I'll begin with you. What do you got on this controversy?
A few things. One is this just proves my point for the longest time that, like, all these people getting upset about everything dilutes when they really should be upset, because this controversy hit Twitter and I was like, oh God, like, what is everyone triggered by now? But that commercial was actually, like, very tone deaf.
I think it was
extremely tone deaf.
I think it was overly dramatic and bad.
It was bad.
But I don't know if it necessarily, like, when I saw that, I mean, I guess I saw it after the fact, but I don't think I would watch that and be like, oh, that's exactly like when they protested the police brutality.
I don't think you do that, but it definitely is, you're like, what's going on here? Like, Kendall, like, obviously, like, you know, police and the trust of the police is a hot topic,
right?
Like, in the last year or two. And Kendall Jenner solving it all by holding a Pepsi can in a weird that's, by the way, ultimate celebrity move, just not even be able to hold
a can
the right way. She was like, here you go. I did like, though, the Pepsi. I think they knew beforehand that this was kind of going to be, like, on the edge, because if you notice, the photographer was, like, clearly, like, a Muslim woman.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, we'll just throw this in
let's
here.
Let's mix
it all in. We're good.
Let's throw some gasoline on. Yeah. I mean, Fights, we talked about it a little bit on radio. I don't really understand the whole cultural appropriation thing, but I think everyone's in agreement this commercial sucked one way or the other.
It was a bad commercial. That's what we were saying, is that it was a bad commercial from the jump.
Right.
But because I'm a white dude, I didn't really think anything else of it. I was just like, oh, that commercial sucked.
It was just like one of those things that, obviously, adding the cap, I'm not offended personally, but I could absolutely see how someone would be like, yo, that's kind of like, you're basically saying Kendall Jenner and a can of Pepsi
can solve the world's problems.
Yeah, adding the cop was really unnecessary.
And there's a fucking Kardashian. What the hell?
And you look around at, like, other soda commercials, it's like, there's the polar bears at Christmas. Right. And there's, like, you know, you crack a can during the summer while you're at the beach.
Right.
Why are we even doing this whole police fucking protest thing?
Can you imagine, like, just like Pepsi, like, pitching this idea, or the advertisement company pitching this idea to Pepsi, being like, yeah, we're going to take it. We're going to get every social issue in the world right now, and we're going to solve it all in 2 minutes. And everyone's going to love Pepsi. And everyone's like, that's going to happen.
Yeah. I know that people want to drink our soda. Yeah.
On the flip side, the people who are like, we're going to now boycott Pepsi. I mean, I'm not a Pepsi guy. I've always been a Coke guy. But if someone's like, when you go to a restaurant, they're like, is Pepsi fine? You're like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. That's the extent. That's why this advertising company kind of maybe deserves a raise, because that's the extent of Pepsi conversations ever.
Right.
That's the only time anyone's ever thought of or talked about Pepsi is, we don't have Coke. Is Pepsi fine?
Is Pepsi okay? It's the only time people are talking about Pepsi more than Coke is right now.
Now, like, all over the internet, there are memes that people are eventually going to think are real. Of Dr. King, like, holding up a Pepsi, being true. Like, I believe in the content of its character. This fucking Pepsi can I have.
Now that would be a good ad. That's the next step for Pepsi. We've been talking about game shows recently. A lot of embarrassing game show moments. Last night we had a Hall of Fame one on Wheel of Fortune. The chick buzzes in on one of the toss-ups. It was Honeysuckle Bush, I think.
I don't even know what
that
is.
She answered.
I used to eat.
That was, well, that's
I
my point.
I know what a Honeysuckle Bush is.
So
I used to eat
them. The answer is, she says, popsicle bike. Popsicle bike.
Popsicle bike.
Popsicle bike.
Larry and Melinda.
Popsicle bike.
way off. But a honeysuckle bush is not something that, like, is right on the top. I guess in Feidelberg used to eat them. Maybe you would get this
you
puzzle right.
You suck them. You suck the honey out of them, or they taste like honey. I forget what it is.
Yeah.
I haven't done it, it just, since
it's,
puberty.
It's not, like, you know, something that I think is right on the tip of your tongue. So I'm kind of on this girl's side.
But most of the shit in fucking Wheel of Fortune is not the tip of your tongue.
Yeah, some of it's
weird. But there's a difference between tip of your tongue and something that just doesn't bike. Exist. Yeah.
Popsicle bike is not on the tip of your tongue either.
But when
it doesn't exist. No, it doesn't exist. There is no such thing as a popsicle bike. And if there is,
it's not alive. Because that was a clue. The clue was living thing.
Yeah, that's
true. The living thing, popsicle bike.
How about just thing that exists? That now popsicle bike
inanimate,
is now out
living,
of it.
Whatever. Yeah. Popsicle bikes are not real. It was the toss up, and there's the buzz. Like, you have the time constraint. I can just see where you have, like, a brain fart, and you just popsicle bike.
The popsicle bike sounds like the thing Mac had in Always Sunny this year.
Oh, yeah.
Fucks him in the ass. The ass blaster. This is a popsicle bike.
I want someone to start tracking it, because I still think Wheel of Fortune
doing it on purpose
knows that they are, like, the second to Jeopardy and, like, Price is Right. So they make sure that they get one of these clips in every month.
And I feel like Trebek has responded. I feel like we've gone, like, every other week, Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy.
Someone track that for me.
You know what the ultimate one is Family Feud. Family Feud just wants someone to say, like, come fart.
Well, that's your, that's Kevin's guy.
That's, yeah,
Steve Harvey.
That's fucking faker than wrestling.
No, that guy, he's all genuine entertainment. That's all Steve Harvey is. Also a big homophobe.
Also hates the shit out of
gays. Big time homophobe.
You remember when you called your shot that he would have, like, a huge, he'd be a star?
He's got a prime time show now.
Are you saying that to me like I'm wrong?
He is not a star.
He has like 50 books. He has a prime time show. He's hosting Miss Universe. He's front page news.
No, someone needs to pull that up, because you
said. Yeah, pull it up. I was fucking right. Pull it up.
You're like, this is going to be the year of Steve Harvey.
Yeah, I know. I actually called
it. Steve Harvey's never had a year.
No, I said it was 2016, and it was his year.
Because he fucked up the...
Yeah.
And
he's all over television.
That doesn't count.
He's super rich. And successful.
I would like to
Steve
call.
Harvey, superstar.
All right, I'm gonna call my shot. 2018, Steve Wilkos making a comeback.
Yeah, you're gonna be wrong. I was right.
The Jerry Springer guy.
The bald guy.
Yeah. He will never be as successful as Steve Harvey.
Yeah.
He's not Steve Harvey's level.
Okay. Well, I just called my shot.
Right. You're gonna be wrong. I was right. David Spade is in the news for saying something that I think everybody already knew, but he's a major. He's fucked everybody. David Spade. And he said the best part of being famous and being in Hollywood is being a chick magnet. It's like, no fucking kidding, man. That's why everybody does anything.
Was this like
anything.
A TMZ thing? TMZ cameras in his face outside a bar?
I don't know. It's a good question. Glenn wrote it. I don't know. The quote was just like, being a chick magnet's awesome. The reason anybody does anything in the whole world is to get pussy. And that's why, David Spade's one of the most successful, he's the underdog of all underdogs. Overachieving, fucking some of the hottest chicks ever.
How is that possible?
Well, I have a theory, and it's just basically that if you wait it out long enough, you'll become, like, in vogue again. Because David Spade was a joke for a long time, right? Like, he had
Tommy
Boy.
But even then, I think he was still smashing chicks.
Yeah, but then he had some flops, and everyone's like, this guy's not a really good actor. But if you just stick around long enough, it's like your mistakes kind of get washed away. It's like, oh, yeah, Tommy
still
Boy.
Still there.
Like, oh, yeah, Tommy
I don't think
Chris
he ever
Farley
stopped
story.
Slaying chicks, though.
Really?
I think he got in there, fucked some really hot A-level chicks, and that's all you need for other chicks to be like chasing along too.
Yeah, Costanza. I mean, he fucked pre-Hep C Pam Anderson.
It's a big deal.
That's ridiculous.
That's outrageous.
I think he fucked like Heather Locklear, like all those chicks back in the day who were like rockers.
You know
who's
tweeting videos with now?
He must have a huge dick.
Charlotte McKinney.
He's probably.
I bet you he fucked her too.
No,
so,
man.
That's outrageous.
Like, I thought he was just becoming like cool again, like, you know, Zuba's become cool again.
You could make the argument that he is like number one as far as the names on his list.
But when you're a girl and you just fuck David Spade, like, we talk about this a lot.
That can't be
like
good.
When you just came and you're like, I fucking shouldn't have fucked her and it just sucks. Like, when a girl's laying in bed with David Spade.
No.
He seems like a nice guy.
But don't you think that means that he just lays pipe? Because I feel like the reputation.
I do.
I feel like there's whispers amongst, like, Victoria's Secret models.
Right.
Like, he's fucking amazing in bed. He's going to blow your mind.
Right.
That's the only explanation.
How many Chris Farley stories do you think he tells
that's
a week?
All of them. However many he's got, he unloads them every single day.
Yeah.
As he should. And it works. He always is trolling around in the Barstool Instagram too. Yeah, he's always commenting. True. So shout out to David. I like your work, man. He's an overachiever.
It's, I mean, when you actually lay out his resume, you're like, holy shit.
It could go toe-to-toe with, like, Derek Jeter.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Nuts.
And he's never changed his goddamn hair either.
No. His look has been the same the whole time.
Which is smart. That's branding. That's smart branding.
Because it's like, I want to fuck that David Spade.
Right.
He changes. You're like, oh, I'm off the list. Like, I want to fuck the same David Spade that fucked Pam Anderson.
Also, David Spade probably, I would imagine he's like figured out that like he just has to hang around the same LA bars and he gets like the young actresses who come. The chicks that want to make it in LA, they show up.
It's almost like
bright eye and bushy tail, like, yeah. Oh, I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna be a big actress. Like,
you have to have it on your resume.
Fuck me.
It's like I did this commercial. Yeah. I was an extra here, and I fucked David Spade. Right. So I'm here in Hollywood. I've arrived. We're gonna move to this NBA section of the rundown today. It's brought to you by Better Call Saul. Better Call Saul season 3 premieres Monday night. We're finally getting to the meat and potatoes. We're getting down to the nitty gritty of that Breaking Bad story that everybody loved. So Better Call Saul is the story of Jimmy McGill becoming Saul Goodman. Now, 3 seasons in, we're getting to that point. So if you're a Breaking Bad fan, this is your season. If you've been watching Better Call Saul, it's all about to start cooking. If you're a Breaking Bad fan who never dove into Better Call Saul, now's the time. Binge it, get it in so you can premiere on Monday night. It's only on AMC. You're going to hear from Mike Ehrmantraut. You're going to hear from Gus Fring, Hector Salamanca, and we're going to watch Jimmy McGill slowly become Saul Goodman. So it's AMC, Monday night, April 10th, 10-9 Central. Better Call Saul, the premiere. The NBA stories of the day. We got Lance Stephenson breaking an unwritten rule, up like 15, time expiring. He, runs down court, lays the ball in, and the Raptors are ready to throw hands. Fights, where do you stand on unwritten rules and Lance Stephenson in this situation?
I hold these very dear to my heart because the New England Patriots have been accused of running up a score a time or two in my life. That doesn't exist in professional sports. And it doesn't exist in like good college sports. It doesn't exist in good high school sports. Like fucking kids, it doesn't exist. Once you're a pro, you can fucking do whatever the hell you want. It happened the other night too with, was it Bradley Beal pushed? JaVale McGee was throwing up a 3 with time expiring after getting run off the court by the Warriors. If you don't want it to happen, don't let it happen. You're a professional fucking athlete. It's insane.
Okay.
I'm kind of with you.
But basketball's a little different in that it's clear everyone gave up. The shot clock, like, once you get past the, once you're under 24 seconds, you can just stand there with the ball and do nothing. And then on top of it, you really don't see this very often. Like,
no,
teams
you
don't do this. They just run out the clock. And then on top of it, it's Lance Stephenson. So if it's not Lance Stephenson, I don't think any of this happens. But everyone's like, that guy's a dickhead. And then he does a borderline dickhead thing. And then you get fake fight.
That is padding stats. That is Lance Stevenson being a cock.
Right.
Anybody it's else, like you're probably
Davis.
Like, yeah, same
when
sort
he
of guy.
To get a the JaVale McGee on
one, though. Like, that's what I like. These both just happened. The JaVale McGee one, like, isn't JaVale McGee throwing up a 3? That's kind of fucking funny.
Yeah, it's funny, but.
I don't think I'd have a problem with that. I think I have a problem. I don't have a problem really with any of it, but I can see someone being like, fuck Lance Stevenson, because he's Lance Stevenson.
Yeah.
It's. I can also understand your point of view that it's like everybody's getting paid, everyone like can do whatever they want, fuck it, fine.
Wouldn't you, like, I feel like I would just, maybe I don't have the pride that most people have, but like,
I would never.
If I was getting my ass kicked and Lance Stevenson laid in the ball, I'd just laugh, like, you fucking loser.
Yeah, so like, you're a dick, but I wouldn't care any more than that.
This is why the Dante Jones fight, when we got into when we were in the basketball TBT. Tournament. This was it. It was basically the exact same situation.
Unwritten rules
up, like,
of the TBT.
With like 10 seconds left. Now, Dante Jones threw down like a windmill dunk, but still, that was why the whole fight
that
started.
I'd almost have a better time with, like, that dude is just like peacocking,
Right.
Lance Stevenson is like in between padding his stats. Right. I think it's almost worse.
Right, he's just getting a layup.
Yeah,
it's like what are you
like
doing?
At least Dante Jones put on a show.
Right.
The other clip from last night was Steph Curry with this behind the back double dribble highlight reel. I really don't ever like to be that guy pointing out that there was a travel or the ref missed a call. I don't think this pass was enough of a highlight to warrant like all the hoopla and then for everyone to look past the double dribble. I don't even really know what he did. I think he shuffled it between his hands before the behind the back pass. Do you think this is a good highlight, or do you think that is it okay for me to be like, come on, that was a double dribble, you should have called it?
I think people are just enjoying Steph Curry without Kevin Durant right now. They're like, because you remember when like Steph Curry started to just go off? It was a couple of years ago,
the
and
Steph
everyone
show.
Was like, "Holy shit, these highlights are insane!" Then Kevin Durant gets there, and it's like, "Fuck the Warriors, fuck the Warriors." Now it's just him doing the old Steph Curry stuff. So people are like, "I'm gonna enjoy this before I get fuck the Warriors.
Before you
back
ruin
going.
The team again,
right? Yeah, which is back. Maybe that's probably a deeply personal thing. Like I was very.
Wait, because you hated Steph.
No. I'm saying like I'm actually just projecting my own thoughts here. Like I now that
he's
I'm saying,
quietly,
now that I'm saying it out loud, I literally just came up with my very yeah exactly. But
I think it stands.
I think it stands. I said I hate doing this too. Like I
said it on the radio. Games, yeah.
On the radio, I said we should start implementing rules where almost every rule is subject to situation. Where like if someone hits a monster,
this is a
monster fucking yeah. home run
yeah.
that's way foul,
yes.
and you're just like,
I love
fuck it. That's a home
I
run.
I love it.
Dude, like
it's
that's
like the splash appeal. Like yeah. if it's good, if it's wow enough,
it counts.
Count.
Yeah. Like no matter what. If it like if it's a like, way foul. I'm not talking about it's close. Way foul, but you're still like, that left the whole fucking park.
I'll give
like,
you another one.
Right. Get around.
When a guy like gets all the way up on the wall to catch a home run, steal a home run, and then comes down and doesn't have it.
That counts.
Count. Yeah, you get like all the way over the wall and do the Ken Griffey and fucking climb it. You should
well,
fucking
catch. I also think in football, like if there's a like a hold away from the play, but it was like a bomb ass yeah. catch. It negates the penalty.
Yes.
They call it the play yes. stands.
All right, I'm into that. I like
it's
that.
It's basically like we want the whole world to become rock and jock. That's
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm okay with that. The world yeah. will be a better
Steph
place.
Steph takes
for that.
Fucking 5 steps but does some crazy behind the back pass.
But right. Yeah, let him play. Right.
Yeah, have
cool.
it.
Everyone's cheering.
We wrap up today with one of my favorite videos, clips ever. There's a lot. I'm going to have to this year, as Francesa retires, I'm going to have to put together like a best of, like a Hall of Fame. These are the top 10, top 50, top 100 clips from Francesa's show. This one's up there. This guy calls in, and this is a thing. You guys probably don't know it as much as I do. Francesa has a specific type of caller. It's usually older people, and they specifically call him Michael. And I think it's like they are the same age as him and think that they're like buddies while also showing some sort of respect, Michael. So it's always like, Michael, I'm the same age as you, Michael. I've been watching the Yankees since 1952. So this guy calls in. He says Michael 16 times. I sat there, I had Fran count. 16 times, and he's ranting about the WBC and how you're not a real American if you don't like the WBC. Francesa tells it straight to his face, if you call me Michael one more time, I'm hanging up on you. And the guy immediately says, Michael, and he fucking drops it on him. It was like straight out of Pulp Fiction. Say what again?
Yeah.
Wait a second. What team, team were you excited about?
Michael.
What team were you excited about?
That's what it was, Mike.
What team were you excited about?
What team? This
yeah, what?
Who else is going to root?
All right, now who were you playing against in the final?
Michael.
What team were you playing against in the final?
Michael.
Don't say Michael again. I'm hanging up on you.
Here,
don't say it again. What team did you play in the final?
Michael.
It was Francesa in a nutshell. The stupid call, the screaming and yelling, and then the Michael 55 times. It's sports radio to a T.
See, I didn't realize that these guys call him hit.
All the
as
time.
A sign of respect.
I don't know what it is. Maybe
I think there's nothing better than calling someone
yeah,
something
yeah.
you know they don't yeah, want to yeah. be called as a fuck you.
Yeah. They do it all the time, though. It's too often to be like, I'm sticking it to Mike. Because Michael. I think
but
we get it sometimes.
16 times feels
in,
like
in 2 minutes,
have to
maybe.
Be saying. Like you're, and if he keeps saying, and he, as he did, like, stop calling me that. And you're like, listen, Michael. That's like, come on, buddy. Come on, buddy.
He was so, so stupid, though. I don't even think I can give him the credit of trolling. To call, unless the whole thing was an elaborate troll, which it could be. If you don't like the WBC, you're not a real patriotic American. Like, that whole thing could just
that's
be.
That's a weird call. But I recently, I was telling you, Kevin, I got into the Francesa, like, rabbit hole one night. I was
welcome
like.
Welcome to the club.
I never really understood your fascination with him, because obviously I've never lived in New York, and I was just like, okay. And then a couple weeks ago, I saw a clip, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, this is pretty fucking... It was the one when he did...
Maryland.
It was Maryland, and then he did, like... I was listening to one where he did, Dead Air, where it was just, like, 45 seconds of him just humming to himself.
He goes,
like, looking...
Pulling
up a bracket. Yeah.
As he looks
like, who they play?
Let's see what happened. What happened in those Maryland-Florida State games this year? Let me see. Let me get to that. So the bottom line is,
it's like, how is this fucking radio?
And how would people rather hear a generic ass host giving a generic ass take, as opposed to somebody giving dead air, going as he scrolls through his phone.
This is one of those things where it's he gets to do it because of how long he's been doing it. If someone just showed up,
if
a 25-year-old kid showed up and was doing this, you'd be like, this guy's the worst radio guy ever. The one thing I love though about this clip is Francesa said, if the World Baseball Classic was in my backyard, I wouldn't watch. And I think he's being 100%.
He could probably host it.
He would be like, I'm not watching this. I'm not watching this fucking shit playing in my backyard.
He's right though. I mean, it doesn't have
he's
the juice.
He's not right. WBC was awesome.
It doesn't have the juice though.
It's so hard to invent something new, which is why like not sending NHL players to the Olympics is so stupid because they want to do the World Cup of Hockey. But you can't just start something like that.
And
it just doesn't exist.
The problem with the WBC is weird that we're having this conversation now. But the problem with it for me is that I'm just not ready for like high intense baseball in March.
You're still easing into it. Right. You got March Madness, a lot of other shit going on.
October feels like it's just like getting crescendoing up there.
I didn't mind it. The Javi Baez clip and the highlights were cool, but it'll never work. That will never catch on.
No, I agree with that. It's a shame because it was good baseball. I think it'll
catch on
in other countries.
If you don't watch it.
I think the other countries will get into it. I don't think it'll be too big in America.
Speaking of which, did I see the NHL said they're not going to let the Olympics happen?
Officially
what
last year, yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Because they want the World Cup of Hockey to be a thing,
yeah,
right?
No. They actually, I hate Gary Bettman. I think he's an idiot. From what I read, which is about an article and a half, the Olympics used to guarantee the contracts, the players' contracts. They stopped doing that.
That's a big difference. That makes sense.
That's
a business thing then.
Like John Tavares broke his leg last time.
Right.
Like
you have to have that guaranteed and insured, no doubt.
If they're not going to do it. Gary Bettman's going to catch the heat for it. And I might be kind of wrong on this, but I know I read that. You can't just send superstars over there. But congrats to Russia, because they're going to win, because everyone's scared to not play in it. Like Ovechkin's already said he's going. Right. They'll have fucking Kovalchuk over there, Datsyuk over there. Malkin will probably still go. They'll be awesome playing against 17-year-old college kids.
Yeah, no. They're going to smoke
but
them.
But then we get the
Miracle back.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll be down for the after show. We got. Where do you stand on this whole Dave fiasco with office manager Brett? Whose side you on?
I only listened to a little of it. Dave said a month ago, I'm not letting Brett book any of my stuff. I'm having Frankie Borelli do everything. Yet he keeps. I think Dave enjoys it because it just gives him something to bitch about.
Yeah.
He just wants.
He needs like a punching bag.
Right.
To
this
you.
Is classic. Like Dave just wants to like be like Brett's the worst. Brett's the worst. Brett. I have no doubt that Brett fucked it up, but if it's such a problem, then Dave, just book your. I book my own travel. Just book your own fucking travel.
Dave said that Brett had
stop being
a
prima donna.
A crevice in his brain, and it's
broken.
Dave's
being a diva. I just book my own fucking shit. Like it's not hard to buy a flight.
Jay Danny, he flew down in 90 minutes.
Booked his own flight.
Did he book his own flight?
Yeah, and Jay tweeted me and said, I book my own travel. I don't trust anyone. That's not a knock on Brett. That's just I wouldn't trust anybody.
I completely agree with that because it's just something about like seeing the time and being like, okay, this is when I got to go. This, like,
you know
when
yourself.
You don't book your own travel, you kind of are just out
there. You're in the dark, yeah.
Right.
I want to say as far as a fuck-up goes, there was no fuck-up here. It was Dave switched his flight at the airport, right? So when he switched his flight by himself at the airport, that flight that he switched to got delayed for like 4 hours past the original flight that I booked for him. And then so he missed his connection.
All right, I'm playing the role of Portnoy here in the Portnoy chair. There was a direct flight like an hour earlier.
There was no direct flight. He got on like a 1 o'clock or like a 2:12. So Dave could have, he told me a month ago.
Yeah.
Dave said, I want to do the rundown
show
and serious.
And
so he would have missed all of it if he flew at 1 o'clock.
Dave's a classic boss where he wants everything to work exactly perfectly for him, where it's like, I want to do the radio and rundown
and
also
get the
11 o'clock flight.
That's direct.
Yeah. And it's like, those all can't work together. So when it doesn't happen, he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. You joke about it all the time. Like, I guess we're just going to make videos every single time the airport doesn't work out. I mean, like, Dave, this is going to happen every single time.
Dave, like, he's the parents in Seinfeld. Like, yeah. Every time he's in interaction with Dave, it's like, oh, and the travel's just been terrible down here.
It's so true. I mean, we've had this discussion many times. You know my stance on travel. It sucks.
So
it always sucks.
Deal with it.
Just suck it up and deal with it. Every time I walk out of my door and I'm like, I'm going somewhere, I know that all shit could go to hell. And I could be, you know, stranded and this and be at the airport forever. That's just traveling.
That's how it goes.
It sucks. There's nothing you can
deal
do.
With it.
Don't travel if you don't want it.
Or just Well, there's no sense. He's gonna just keep doing this forever.
We were saying I went to dinner the other night, and I was late for dinner because like there was fucking shitty on the subway and shitty cab stuff. And I got to dinner and I started bitching about it, and then I just shut the fuck up because like absolutely no one cares about this.
Yeah.
Like no one fucking cares about this.
Brett,
Dave's like, you're all gonna listen to me.
Yeah.
You're gonna make you fucking care about this.
Brett, you should start just having Frankie book it and just don't tell Dave that it was Frankie and just see how it goes.
See what happens.
And then when that fails.
Right. Brett fucked up. I seriously wouldn't book his travel if I were you, because it's a no win. You have no chance.
There was no coming out on top of that one. When if I had booked a direct flight, he would have been like, I missed the show. Yeah, mm-hmm. I missed the radio show and the rundown.
I mean,
so
dealing with Dave is an eternal lose-lose.
Yes,
just
it is.
Just bear.
Just and you bear would, it. The same thing. It's been that way since we started with, and here now too, is if you're sick. You come in the office, you're sick.
You're getting
sick. You're getting me sick. Mm-hmm. You stay home, you're sick, you're faking it. You can never win with Dave.
And also, it's a lose-lose-lose because Dave controls the narrative and you're already the
total. There's no chance.
Yeah, you actually can't ever, you have to quit.
Well, let me
like now that I'm thinking about it,
you're never gonna
get out of the shadow of Brett the fuck up, because the narrative has been written.
Well, let me wrap.
I
real
feel
quick.
Bad. I know
using,
you're not
using
a fuck
one
up.
More story from today. There was that video of the chick hanging from outside the window,
yeah,
and the boss filmed her rather than help her, and she fell 7 stories. If Brett was hanging out a window, do you think Dave would save him, or do you think
he would take his camera?
Yeah, 100%. He would really
absolutely.
Do it. That Ethiopian chick.
He'd be like,
she only broke her arm though, so it's okay. To
oh man, that was.
Like, what are you doing,
stars.
Brett? Just pull yourself up. What's the matter? You can't use your fucking brain, Brett.
Well, I'm just your brain's broken.
Like, dude, this 7th story.
Yeah. Like, and then Brett's in the hospital, and he's like, why don't I have a flight home?
That's the rundown.